And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Annunciation Studios here at WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio. You're tuned in to The Cradle and the Convert for Thursday, September 1st. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dave. What's up?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. Good morning, Dan.
Well, good morning, Mark.
How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Well, good.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, you know, can you believe it's September 1st already? I mean, really. It's the beginning of what some people call
fall.
Well, fall, but I mean, they call it meteorological fall. You know, they break the seasons into September, October, November for fall, and then December, February, and March. And the real fall starts on September 21st. That's the autumnal equinox.
Okay.
That's a big word.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big word for a guy like me. You know, and I love fall. I love fall golf. I love fall baseball. Caramel apples, weenie roasts. Fall's a great time of the year. It's just that time, it goes so fast. And you know, where does it all go? It just blows by so quickly. So fall brings a lot of things, including back to school, and we've been doing our four-part special on Catholic schools here in Decatur and Macon County. And last week, the St. Teresa Bulldogs kicked off their football season with a delayed start game because of a huge storm that blew through. But the Bulldogs prevailed against Tolono and are 1-0 on the season, and we hope that zero continues, that they go and win all the games that they play this year. We want to congratulate Coach Mark Ramsey for his first victory as a Bulldog coach, and also their name in the stadium down in A&M in Mohegan. The Mark Ramsey, is it Stadium, Dan, or the Mark Ramsey Field?
Field,
I think.
Typically.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And we're lucky to have a guy like that who's, I think, going to really make the tradition of St. Teresa football continue.
I hope so.
Me too. Hey, so speaking of that, we're gonna talk with Debbie Alexander here in a few minutes about what's going on at Holy Family School, and that's your parish, Mark.
It is.
We're gonna talk to Kate Kelly and do a little movie review on Ben-Hur. We're gonna do a preview of the gospel, and we're gonna talk Mother Teresa. So stay with us, folks, and we're going to take a short break and be right back with Deb Alexander from from Holy Family School.
Well, we had been had left our previous church and had been out of church for about 3 years and had that pull start again in our life, God calling us back to a church for fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters. We knew we didn't want to go into a similar style church we had been to, and we're looking for something more real, really steeped in tradition. And so we were very curious about the Catholic Church.
We started listening to Catholic radio months before we even attended our first Mass. And by listening to those shows and by hearing priests answer questions, even before we had a parish community, we felt like we had community. And getting the answers to those questions that we had, it really just cleared up misconceptions, it answered curiosities, and it made us just want more and to be part of that.
To be able to listen to in the car, you know, when you're driving home from work, and maybe if you've had a frustrating day, you can get some great Catholic programming to kind of, you know, get your spirit lifted back up.
All right, I'm going to take over now, Dave and Dan.
All right.
This is a treat. Now I have more than one co-host pestering me. Now there's two. So bear with me, folks, and pray for me. We've got a special guest with us tonight that's going to talk to us. It is Debbie Alexander.
Thank you, and welcome as well.
Glad to have you.
Yes, we are very pleased. And she is currently the principal of Holy Family Catholic School in Decatur. And we thought we'd have Deb come, like we have some of the other principals, and talk to us and explain a little bit about the school, what she wants to tell us about it, and then anything they might have going on. We'd love to hear. So, Debbie, you're a graduate of Holy Family School yourself. No, she's not, folks. She is not. That was good to try.
Yeah, well.
But she is a graduate of Millikan. Of Mount Zion School.
Parishioner, a proud parishioner.
Yes, she is. She is.
Parishioner,
she is.
Principal, that's good.
Yeah, and she is also a graduate of my alma mater, James Millikan University in Decatur, Illinois.
I thought you went to Faber.
Hey. So, Debbie, welcome, and tell us a little bit about your school.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today and an honor to represent Holy Family Catholic School and our parish as well. Our school is a pre-K through grade 8 facility. We have a pre-K 4 program that is all day this year. Actually, it was implemented last year, and it is an awesome and an amazing asset for our students and our families, provides academic, social, emotional growth at a very hands-on and appropriate level.
Now, Debbie, what age groups for pre-K?
We have a pre-K 3 program for 3-year-olds, okay. And the age is determined by September 1st.
Oh, okay.
And then our pre-K 4, and this year, actually, we have added a pre-K 4.
Wow.
So our enrollment at the preschool level is thriving, and it's due in part to the phenomenal staff that we have pre-K through 8. Families see such a phenomenal opportunity academically and based in their faith.
Okay.
It truly is a holy family. Having been there for a year now, I have been fortunate enough to live that year in a very faith-based and supportive manner.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, whether it's the joys that we're celebrating or the hardships throughout the day, there is a sense of the Holy Spirit that is beyond anything that you could imagine for our students and our staff. And truly, having come from an education background, mm-hmm. this is now my 36th year,
mm-hmm.
this is one of the strongest staffs, strongest families, strongest students, and base that I've ever felt.
Wow.
And there is truly, with Father Joe and our leadership and the support of the parish, the support of our families from wherever they may come across our community, just a true sense of good and wellness and wanting what is best for each individual student.
Mm-hmm.
And there is truly a sense of encouragement, a sense of uplifting, and the fact that we're able to celebrate and share our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We get to go to Mass together, and that is something that our world needs.
Absolutely.
And to be able to give that to our children is beyond a priceless thing that a family can give to a child, and we get to share in that.
And you know, I got to say something about the school Mass, which is going to be at 2:00 p.m. on Thursdays this year.
Yes.
Formerly we had it at 8 a.m., but now, folks, it's at 2 for you Holy Family folks. You know, when parents take their kids to Mass, it's a little bit different structure than when they're in the school. And I think that is critical to kids learning what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Certainly the teachers are not shy about intervening when they see something that's inappropriate, where mm-hmm. parents may think, well, I'm going to wait till this is over with, and then I'm going to mm-hmm. have a talk with that child of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, this way it's right away. And I think that's good that the kids go.
Mm-hmm. I think another asset to having school Mass is that, and one of the reasons that we're moving it to the afternoons is that, of course, we want to encourage our parents and our parishioners to join us. And so a 2:00 with dismissal at 3 allows for that perfect timing. Another caveat of our school and the Mass at 2 is that we do have several students that attend St. Teresa as 8th graders in math and science. So it allows them to, you know, be a part of our family and be at Mass.
That's great.
Demonstrates to them the priority of Mass in their life. I think also it allows them, as you said, Mark, to develop that self-discipline
mm-hmm.
about appropriate and respectful behavior while you're at Mass. And when I am in Mass with my peers, I see that the peer pressure is in such a positive way, because it's a good thing to be at church, and it's okay to go
right.
to church.
Right.
And it's expected. So it allows students to feel that sense of togetherness, a sense of community, and the sharing of their faith,
mm-hmm.
and that it is a good and appropriate thing in your life. And so we develop those skills early and that self-discipline about what to do at Mass, and that this is something. Even on our school calendar for the weekends, we list our Mass times.
Right.
Mass is such an important part of our life, and we face so many trials and tribulations, you know, in the daily world, that our faith is something that no matter where we are, no matter what we encounter, we can have great comfort in our faith with others or by ourselves and reflect on what we need to do better or differently to make a change for others. You know, as we are called to be His hands and feet, we can do that at the preschool level. We can do that at the eighth grade level. It may look very differently. We can do that within our families.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's your family at Holy Family or your family at home or in the neighborhood or in the community, we're able to implement the practices and the philosophies and the beliefs that we have as a firm foundation for our students and what they can do to give back and to be better.
Wow, that's great.
And Mark, I can attest to everything that Debbie's speaking about. I had three kids that have gone through Holy Family, mm-hmm. and they all participated in the pre-K mm-hmm. program.
Wow.
Through St. Teresa and whatnot.
No kidding.
But we know that at that elementary level, we're shaping their life. Mm-hmm. We're letting
right,
them know what
instilling habits.
Priorities are. And I am so proud of what Holy Family and the faculty has done. As far as preparing them for high school.
Sure.
And two of them already through college.
Wow.
Got through in 4 years.
Wow. That's almost impossible anymore.
Well, it saves me a lot of money.
Yeah, that's
that
what I'm saying.
Education,
yeah.
Not going to that fifth year of college, all
that's
that
right.
private you know, Catholic education
sure.
really paid off. So, and it all starts at the elementary level, mm-hmm. the culture that has mm-hmm. formed their personality and their lives mm-hmm. and Holy Family.
Right.
And then it continues on St. Teresa. So, yeah, what Debbie is doing and the Holy Family is awesome.
Yes,
yeah. And of course, we also want to highlight that at the preschool level, as you referred to, we are very focused with regard to what we want to do in preparation for our students academically. And so we've been focusing on looking at data and what we can do better or differently as a mm-hmm. staff. As phenomenal as the staff is and the family support, our volunteers, our parishioners and our parish that offer us that support as well, we're looking at data because we want to be able to tell to people, to document that we have, for example, at the preschool level, our students take the KRT, which is a kindergarten readiness test, which is a national test, which is used largely in Central Illinois as an indicator of a student's success as they move to kindergarten. If you have come from the preschool at Holy Family Catholic School, students score at least at 92% or better that they indicate
wow.
success in kindergarten. If a student comes from another preschool, their level of success is only at 51%
as
an average.
Wow.
And so there's data to back up the programming and the educational Ooh. And academic programming that we're providing. And we're also looking at things that we need to retain and build our program stronger. As we referred to earlier, we have students that go to St. T for math and science as 7th or 8th graders. We are also looking at how to implement some best practice with regard to instructional coaching, and we'll be using that model this year. And we will have instructional coaches supporting teachers in teaching and learning in the classroom every single day. We will have a focus on writing and grammar this year. We know that that is something that challenges, you know, across the board nationally, and so we're looking at that. We also look at the other end of the spectrum, and for example, in math, if we have students that are more advanced in math, we have excellent opportunities for our kids and our students to specifically address the individual needs of our students. And it's just key that we look at our students as individuals, not only in what their social emotional needs are, but also their academic needs, because we want to maintain that high level of integrity in sending our students on well prepared for success to St. Teresa.
Yeah, it's all difficult. If they get behind early,
absolutely.
They really struggle trying to catch up.
I bet.
By starting mm-hmm. them off early.
Right. We have
a better chance of success.
You are absolutely mm-hmm. right. We do have huge blessings in the staff at Holy Family, whether it be in our leadership with Father Joe, whether it be with each and every teacher, teaching assistant, our food service program, our Mr. Keller, who loves and takes care of our building and all of us across our campus at Holy Family. But we truly have some very insightful professionals who are not only loving and caring in their faith, but also loving and caring with what they want for our children academically within their classrooms. Parents are so cooperative and so willing to do whatever they need to do to help work together to find that success for our students, to develop the whole child and make sure that we have prepared them academically and for life through their faith.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. What's your projected enrollment going to be this school year?
This year we have approximately 220 students. We have as I said, we've added another preschool section this year. We have approximately 170 families, which that has maintained, a level, stable number over the past few years. We are looking at an exciting year coming up. Something that we're adding this year as well, which is in cooperation with the parish and is an outreach ministry, is a group called MOPS, and it's Moms of Preschoolers. And so, of course, we as a Catholic faith, who so believe in families, and especially we all know, as having raised children, we need to support our families and especially our young families in giving them what they need.
Indeed.
So they'll be meeting once a month. There's a core group of moms under the leadership of Carrie Kylene Ferguson, and she'll be helping lead that group. There are also other leaders and moms who've stepped up to help, whether it's babysitting, whether it's to lead, and they will be having topics of discussion once a month at the school, and they will be talking about the issues that they face as young parents and helping support and cultivate their success and giving them what they need, whether it's through our faith and support in that way or in any way that we can as an outreach. We will continue community service as well at the Good Samaritan Inn.
I was going to ask about that.
Yes, I think that's one thing that we are really, in fact, all Decatur area Catholic schools will be starting a retreat this year, and we will be having somebody from the diocese come over and talk to us about mission work. And it's important that we teach our children and model for them the heart of a servant. And that can happen right here in our community. So often we look to areas of the world that are in need, and we totally acknowledge that as well. We want to also start our feet and our steps moving in a progressive way here to outreach to our community. We do that through Good Samaritan Inn. We do that through many other avenues,
right.
The WSOY food drive every year.
Right.
Of course, our Adam Carter Fun Run, our Rodney Miller Triathlon.
Yep.
So those are all ways that we will continue to serve. And we're always looking for ways that our students can contribute in a positive way.
You know, that's important, Debbie, because we're all called to evangelize by our baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially with kids, the younger you get them started on that, and whether they realize it or not, if they're serving soup or a sandwich or whatever at Good Samaritan, they're evangelizing.
Absolutely. And I think, too, it does us so well as individuals to look outside ourselves. And too often, if you're having one of those days and you're thinking, oh my goodness, how can I face this next thing in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're serving, whether it be at the soup kitchen, whether it be at Good Samaritan, whether it be at the Rodney T. Miller and helping others and volunteering, whether you're serving at church, I mean, that's also
that's
a way that our students serve, is at Mass on the weekends. There's all, when you're looking outside yourself and serving others, then it diminishes the issues that you truly think you have in your life.
That's exactly
You mentioned that, sometimes we take for granted, we don't realize we live in the mission field.
Absolutely.
And as a kid, I always thought of the missions being in Africa or Asia.
Yeah,
but,
right.
We have a mission field right here in Decatur. And instilling those habits in those kids when they're young and teaching them what it feels like to give is so important.
Right.
So many people just don't understand how good it feels to give to others. And instilling that at a young age, that's wonderful.
Right. And we are truly so blessed as we sit around this table and within the world that we've been able to give back to.
Mm-hmm.
And I always let the kids know that in giving, you will receive double. And it's not, that's not the reason that we're giving. We're giving because that's, we are taught to be his hands and feet,
sure,
and that's the heart of a servant. However, you will never regret helping someone, no matter how little it may seem, whether it's picking up their books in the hallway that they may have dropped, stopping to help them, a kind word, a smile. Those are the kinds of things that even we can offer to others,
absolutely,
in helping make a difference.
Do you have to be Catholic to go to Holy Family?
Actually, we have non-Catholics attending our school as well.
So everyone is welcome.
Right. Everyone is welcome. And we are faced with some very good things and looking at enrollment that, you know, is increasing. And we are looking at stability levels that are there and maintaining them. I think that we are committed to our faith, of course. And if people do come out of the Catholic faith, they will be taught. We do have religion in our classes, in our classrooms. We do have, of course, the Mass that they will attend.
Sure.
And I do feel that it's important to us to evangelize in a way that we are accepting of other faiths.
Sure.
And it's not a limitation or an expectation that you be Catholic. However, at least I would say 85 to 90% of our families are Catholic. However, we do have some that are not. They are welcomed with an open heart, and they share Christianity.
And they still attend. They still attend the religion class.
Oh, absolutely. They still come,
okay,
to religion class. So, and come to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's creates an awareness. And we have had some families that have come to us and have not come from the cradle, but then become the convert.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to know that that is part of our,
sure,
evangelism and discipleship. It's through our educational practice.
Great. Wow, that's hard.
Share a little bit about when you go through the school. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in grade school, and I remember my little science class.
You still remember?
And dissecting a frog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But now, at Holy Family, which is, I'm totally impressed with, you have a computer room, you have,
yes,
an actual lab,
yes,
you have a music department.
Yes, we have,
sure,
we have opportunities that within the Catholic school that are comparable or even far beyond what you might see in a public setting or other educational setting. We do have one-to-one technology, which means at pre-K through grade 5, all of our students have access to one-to-one iPads. They have carts in the classrooms. We even had fifth graders last year as our tech team to support the iPads at the,
wow,
pre-K through 5 level. Then at the junior high level, which is our 6th, 7th, and 8th grade level, we have one-to-one Chromebooks. Textbooks are on the Chromebook. We use the Google format. We use Google Classroom. Students have, with very controlled and filtered and vault-type systems, access to an email address, so they're able to communicate with their teachers, with peers, and of course, as I said, security is top, and we know where every student, every click that they make, we can track within our vault and our system and our,
wow,
networking system. We also, in addition, have a computer lab, so that if students and teachers want to go in and work on special projects, they're able to do that as well. With regard to other extracurriculars and academics, we participate in Science Fair. We have Scholastic Bowl. We have, of course, Spelling Bee. Holy Family is,
yeah,
well known for having those phenomenal spellers. We have
speech
contest winners. Art. We had several winners in local art contests last year. We have IESA sports through, we have girls. We have cross country, we have track, we have girls basketball, boys basketball. Our girls volleyball team last year won 4th place in state under the coaching of Maggie Beck Pugh and Coach Mike Wilkes.
Mm-hmm.
We also have many other opportunities. Chess club. The students are love to play chess at lunchtime and under the direction of Mrs. Soloka. So we have a wonderful play and phenomenal music program under the direction of Mrs. Christine Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of opportunities for involvement.
Now, those fifth graders, do you farm them out? Like, I got computer issues. They come work on my...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We could have an engineer in here.
It doesn't hurt to ask. You know
what? It was phenomenal because last year when we were going to have a tech support team at fifth grade, because truly, I always say if you need help with a PowerPoint, go find yourself a third grader, and they can help you. And I'm somebody who programmed my own web page using a data editor and HTML 30 years ago, and I still seek out their help. But I had students, we were interviewing the students to teach them the life process of, you know, when you want to have a job, you fill out an application, you go for an interview. It was so phenomenal. I had a student tell me that he wanted to learn more about some unit within the computer that I was not even aware of, and this was at fifth grade. So
wow.
Our students are absolutely some of our best resources with regard to technology and any other area within our building. That's what I love is we're able to see the gifts and talents of every individual student at Holy Family and build upon that, whether in the classroom or in and outside of the classroom.
Suppose I want to get my child in Holy Family,
mm-hmm.
Deb.
If you were interested in coming to Holy Family, you are welcome to call us at 423-7049.
Uh-huh.
Or you may email me at dsalexander09@aol.com
okay.
Or dalexander@hfcschool.org. We have a website.
Okay.
It's a beauty, too. That website is awesome.
Yeah, isn't that something?
I've been looking at it throughout the show here.
We are very fortunate to have a webmaster, Catherine Smith,
yep.
who is a parishioner and a parent.
She's also on our board.
Phenomenal.
And a DCR board member.
There you go. And she is so sharing with her gifts and her mm-hmm. talents with our school. And she has been a phenomenal resource to us throughout the year, and I know over the years as her children
sure.
have been there. So you check out our website, mm-hmm. same website, hfcschool.org, or go to DecaturHolyFamily.org, which is our church, and it will link you to our site. We have a great Facebook page, Decatur Holy Family,
yep.
that we update with current, day-by-day activity
sure.
so that families can stay involved. Because parent involvement looks very different in 2016.
Mm.
And so we're realizing that whether it's on campus or off campus, there's ways to involve parents and families.
Sure.
And so we want to ensure that whether you're a full-time working family or you're stay-at-home parents, we want to make sure that you feel a part and a valuable part
sure.
in creating the education that we have to be able to offer at Holy Family.
Awesome.
Well, Deb, we really appreciate you coming
in
today
kidding.
And telling us about your school, your beautiful campus,
yes.
your website. Give us the phone number one more time in case somebody
sure.
wants to call.
217-423-7049.
Okay, that's Debbie Alexander, the principal of Holy Family School.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Debbie.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And any questions, please call or email.
We'll be right back.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of Holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless Holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar-holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. You're listening to 88.996.5 WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio, Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois. In this next section, Dan, we're going to have our gospel preview for the gospel that we'll be hearing next Sunday.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, anyone who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now, before we discuss this, I need to make sure everybody knows that Dan, Mark, and I are not priests. We're not ordained deacons. We're lay people that are just discussing what we just heard. We're not saying this is what the church says. We're saying this is what we feel or what we hear or what we think. So, you know, as Father Simon says, take it with a grain of salt. But in our case, you better take it with a little more, because we're just going to discuss what we just heard. And that's a hard gospel to me.
Yeah, it is. The translation, lots of times, from the original Greek to the Latin and so on and so forth, can use a word in English that basically translates, but it doesn't hold the meaning of what was meant in the original word. And I think that's what happens to us with the word hate in this case.
Well, and I looked that up, and it said that the word hate translates to love less, basically, or to have the least love. So it says that, you know, you have to love God the most.
Above
everything else. And of course, in English, the word hate has a whole different connotation.
Exactly.
Which means basically with no love,
right?
You know, or to wish harm upon someone. But that's not what, through the different words and translations, like you said, Mark. The other thing, when you go to build a tower, you got to make sure you got enough equipment, enough supplies to get the tower built. If you're going to go face an army, you better make sure that you have the numbers to complete your mission, or you better call it off and negotiate. I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to tell us in that, other than if you're going to start the journey towards heaven, you better make sure that you've got the stick-to-itiveness to follow the Beatitudes, to follow the commandments, and to do God's will. It's not just enough for grace alone to get us to heaven, but to plan ahead and use what God has given us for his good works.
Yeah, and the very last passage, it talks about anyone of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. That goes right along the very first passage about you got to make Jesus Christ, got to make God first in our lives, and everything comes secondary. And then the passage about going and send a delegation first,
yes,
before you go into battle. Again, that's the way Jesus, that's the way God, you know, peace, love your neighbor. You've got to exhaust all those other avenues first and put God first and then proceed from there.
Now, that's interesting, because my thought was Jesus is telling his disciples what his mission is and what he's teaching them. So he's saying, here's what you got to do if you're going to be part of my army,
mm-hmm,
or my building supplies to build this building. You have to renounce all your possessions. He didn't say give them up. He's again saying value them less than me.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the original statement about hating your mother and father. The translation was the issue, but it's the same thing. You're going to have to love me above all else.
Yeah, the first commandment.
And that's pretty much what I took it.
Love me with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. So
I'm going to build this huge building. I'm going to construct it, but I got to make sure that you all are on board with me, and I've got that. I'm going to take my army of disciples out and build my kingdom, and I've got to make sure that you understand what it takes to follow me.
Anxious to see the Sunday. What Father's Day?
Yeah,
we're
professional.
We're probably way off.
What they're talking about?
We're probably way off on that.
Probably.
Well, let's go a little bit of community calendar here. I know we have issues that we want to talk about that are not issues, but things that are going on around the listening area. And I know Holy Family's got some stuff coming up. Mark, you want to tell us about it?
I do. Holy Family, their Parish School of Religion, will begin on Wednesday, September 7th, with a family opening mass at 6 p.m., followed by registration in the Parish Center. And classes will be meeting Wednesday evenings from 6:15 to 7:15 p.m., September 14th through April 26th. Call Patrice Hunt for more information at 519-1849.
And PSR's Public School of Religion.
Yes,
right?
I'm sorry.
And any Catholic child that attends public schools is supposed to attend a PSR class. Isn't
that's right.
That right.
That's right.
Okay. And that's different from RCIA in what way?
Well, RCIA is the initiation rite for Catholic adults, and Parish School of Religion is designed for the students who don't get it in the public or another parochial school that are actually Catholic.
Okay.
And they can go to the PSR classes and get their catechism. What cool. We used to call catechism in the old days.
Yeah, or lessons.
Yeah, lessons.
All right, go ahead. What else you got?
Well, Holy Family is also on October 9th through 11th, we're sponsoring a retreat. Father Tom McCarthy, who's an Augustinian father from St. Rita's in Chicago, is going to come down and enlighten anyone, is welcome, of course, enlighten anyone on the sacraments in an enriching and interesting way. And he's a fantastic speaker. He's been here several years ago, and it was a widely attended, and I encourage everybody to come out for that. There's also some mass changes. Thursday and all school masses during the school year are now at 2 p.m. 2 p.m., no longer in the morning.
I like that.
Yeah, well, it's good. And on holy days during the school year, masses will be at 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5:30 p.m.
That 2 p.m. mass allows for the parents
that's
to
right.
be at the school mass, and I think that's awesome.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It says here that the Resurrection Parish of Iliopolis will be hosting a fried chicken dinner and raffle on Sunday, September 11th on the parish grounds, which is at 5th and Ann Streets. And as you drive by Iliopolis on the interstate, you can see the steeple of that church.
Yes,
it's pretty easy to find. The chicken dinner will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's $5 for children 10 and under and $9 for an adult. Iliopolis is within this listening area. Very clearly, you can hear WDCR either on 88.9 or 96.5 over in Iliopolis.
That's right.
So that's a good thing.
Okay. And I have two. One's a feel-good, but the first one is Frank Runyon will be presenting Acts of Mercy based on the Gospel of John, Gospel of Luke, and the Letter of St. James. It's a three-day mission at Our Lady of Lourdes Parish, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. Again, a three-day mission, October 17th, 18th, and 19th, for Acts of Mercy at Our Lady of Lourdes Church. And then the feel-good is HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. They have their auxiliary had a fourth annual county market grocery grab, and Mary Blaylock was the winner, and was really nice. She donated the winnings to the Good Samaritan Inn. And then they happened to select a St. Teresa High School student and a Good Samaritan Inn volunteer to do the shopping, and that was Tegan Lakshmanan. I did my
easy
best
for there. You to say.
who actually gave up a trip to Six Flags
wow.
to do the grocery shopping.
Oh, now that's service right
that's
there.
That's pretty awesome.
That's and service.
It is. Charity.
I think that she grabbed the most of all time so far, $496 worth of groceries in less than 3 minutes.
Good for
and
her.
Then the proceeds from this cause goes back to St. Mary's Hospital to buy two life-form mannequins for nurse education purposes.
Well, good.
So I think it's a win-win for
it
everybody
was.
All around.
That's
beautiful.
That's neat.
That is nice. So. The God Shelter of Love Fall Banquet will be Saturday, September 10th at 6 p.m. at the Grand Palace, which is at Heartland Community Church out on North Brush College Road. Doors open at 5:30. There's a silent auction. You can RSVP by calling 422-2790. Or go to godshelterofloveatgmail.com. And that's another group that takes care of the homeless, the people that are in need, God Shelter of Love. The New Life Pregnancy Center Banquet for Life is Tuesday, September 27th in the Mount Zion Convention Center. That is sold out, but there's a lot of us that have already got tickets that are going
that's
to
right.
that. They'll have a speaker. That's a great deal, and it's in the Mount Zion Convention Center. That is about all we have for the community calendar. Folks, if you've got something...
Wait a minute. No, I'm just anxious to talk about Mother Teresa.
Oh, the movie. Okay.
Oh, no, I just want to let everybody know if they have something they would like for us to put on the community calendar on the Cradle and Convert show, to send it to us at the Cradle and Convert in care of WDCR, 1800 East Lakeshore Drive, Decatur, Illinois, 62521 or two.
One.
62521.
Yep.
And we'd be happy to promote your events at your parish, at your school, Catholic Charities, anything you have. We'd love to put it on here so that folks can attend your event.
Yes.
Again, that's WDCR, the Cradle and the Convert, 1800 East Lakeshore Drive, Decatur, Illinois. You can email us, if you care to do that, at contact@wdcrradio.com. contact@wdcrradio.com, and keep us posted so we can keep everybody else posted. We love to promote your events.
And folks, the movie is coming up on September 8th, but we'll be talking about that in a little bit when we discuss Mother Teresa.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second.
1 year after I graduated Catholic high school, I eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years. When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture. I learned that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, who gave the authority to Peter, and it has continued in succession down to the present day. And that was the start of my journey home to the Catholic Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Okay, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR Catholic Radio for Orianna and Decatur. And let's talk for a few minutes about our upcoming movie and what's going to happen this weekend.
Hey, Dave, before we go into Mother Teresa, I just want to maybe interject one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to that last spot, the lady talked about her coming home back to the Catholic faith. That was from Catholics. ComeHome.org, I believe.
Right.
Last week, we had Father John on.
Yeah.
You know, and he was not Catholic. He was a...
That's right, he's a convert.
He's a convert.
Yeah.
And we talked about what made him convert to Catholicism. And number one, being religious and then convert, he said it started with the Bible.
Yes, he did.
He started just wanting to read the Bible, and the more he read it, the more he learned, the stronger his faith deepened, and the conversion took place. And that's the exact same thing that lady spoke about, and so
yeah,
I had to bring that out, because none of us, many of us do not read the Bible
mm-hmm.
enough, and we need to make it a daily thing, and I know I need to work at that.
Well, especially the versions like New American Bible that have the little footnotes that explain the language and the actions and how it relates to previous passages, you know, particularly with the New Testament referring back to the Old Testament.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, sorry to interrupt that, Dave. So.
And you have to read the Bible in context. You know, you can't just take one line. You got to see what it says on each side and after the line for it to make sense to you. But reading the Bible is a good thing, and you can virtually have the Bible read to you.
Audio.
Audio Bible available. I'll find out next week. We've got a great one, and I know Relevant uses it to do the daily readings. So next Sunday.
Yes.
Mother Teresa of Calcutta will be canonized by Pope Francis as a saint in the Catholic Church. From all of her works, from her birth in Albania through her death in Calcutta, some of the works, it was amazing, the things that she did, the struggles she fought. Movie night that we're going to show the story of Mother Teresa on September 8th.
Yes, sir.
At 6 o'clock at the historic Rogers Theater in downtown Decatur. We invite you
all.
How
about the Avon?
Oh, the historic Avon?
Yes.
Yeah, the Rogers is really historic because it's gone.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Shows how often I go to the movies.
We can't afford more
I
pensioners.
I go once a year on Catholic movie night.
We're on pension. We can't afford movies.
But so Mother Teresa's story. And now, Mark, as I recall, you have had a friend, a deceased relative, that met Mother Teresa. Adriana Lovelace?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry.
Can you tell us a little personal stuff, maybe, that you might know about Mother Teresa through Adriana?
Well, just that. She said that the one thing that struck her more than anything else was her look while you spoke to her. And she said you felt like you were looking into the eyes of Jesus.
I remember you telling me that.
She said, that's the one thing I remember the most. It was like you were looking in the eyes of the Lord. And I heard another interesting thing the other day. A fellow said he was in Calcutta, actually, and was in horrible, horrible physical shape. Found in the gutter. He had several diseases working on him. He was dehydrated. Just terrible. And Mother Teresa came and got a hold of him and was holding him up, propping him up while they were tending to some of his wounds and so forth. And she said, or the old man, rather, looked at Mother Teresa and said, "Are you Jesus?" And she said, "No, but I try to be just like him."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the miracles attributed to her for her canonization, one of them was an individual had a terrible brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting ready to do surgery on him. And they prayed and prayed and asked for the intercession of Mother Teresa. And the doctors were flabbergasted to find that the tumor was gone.
Wow.
Completely gone. So, you know, that's amazing that she could intercede from heaven for us, as all the saints can.
Well, absolutely.
You know, and we just have to ask. One of the things I really thought Mother Teresa fought about was getting her own order, the Sisters of Charity started. She was a member, I believe, of the Carmelites, and they didn't want to let her go start her own ministry,
right?
Her own order, and she basically left, and basically was told goodbye. If you're going to go do this, go do it. Goodbye. She went out as one person, and one other nun followed her, and the works they began ultimately was recognized by the bishop, and he allowed her to begin her order of the Sisters of Charity there in Calcutta. Now they're all over the world. They're Sisters of Charity all over the world. You know, and she also helped adopt out a lot of children. And you'll see in the movie, if you go see it, I'm not going to ruin it, how there was a lot of trouble when it came to the adoptions of some of these Indian children. Paperwork, different things, someone inside the organization not doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing, and it really got her jammed up a few times. It was an awesome movie. I hope you'll all come. I didn't know a whole lot about Mother Teresa other than what, you know, you see and read. And, of course, Pope John Paul II loved her.
Yes.
So I guess everybody else would, too, I assume. But to see the movie and to see her life story from her childhood in Albania, which was an Eastern European country, all the way through to the end of her life, unbelievable story. And I never understood it, never really understood how it all went till I saw the movie.
Well, and that's one of the things that we need to really come to appreciate is a modern-day saint.
Absolutely.
You know, we think of saints always back in Jesus' day.
That's right.
But modern-day saints. And Mother, you know, a couple things. One of the things to become a saint, many people might not know, is the beatification.
That's right.
And what that is, you know, many times we speak to our parents. We pray. We pray to others who are not with us. And praying to Mother Teresa has healed two people, is backed up.
And that's,
yeah,
by independent. They have independent people who's atheists.
Yep.
The Catholic Church challenges others to discount these miracles.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that surgery I was talking about, the brain surgery, the doctor was an atheist.
Oh, he
and
was.
He had absolutely no explanation.
I'll be darned.
And he sat in on the inquiry, try to figure it out.
Huh.
I wonder if he's still an atheist. I doubt
good
it.
Question.
Well, we hope you'll join us for that, and we'll talk again in just a second about how to get tickets for the movies. But in the meantime, we have a movie, I wouldn't call her a critic, but a reviewer that is going to review some movies for us when they come out, especially the epic religious ones like Ben-Hur. And here with her movie review of the movie Ben-Hur is Kate Kelly.
2016's Ben-Hur, directed by Timur Bekmambetov, starring Jack Huston, Toby Kebbell, and Morgan Freeman, is a classic tale of love, betrayal, revenge, and learning forgiveness. Set in Jerusalem in the first century CE and intersecting with the life of Jesus, Ben-Hur tells the story of Judah Ben-Hur, the son of a wealthy Jewish family who is betrayed by his adopted brother Masala when the Roman Empire seeks to impose its will on the Jewish community. Sold into slavery, driven by hate and revenge, Judah fights to survive on a slave galley with the ultimate goal of returning home to avenge his family. I can't say enough good things about the acting, the scenery, and the action scenes. Filmed on site in Italy and Mexico, Huston did well in the title role, and none of the CGI came across as kitschy or fake. The chariot scene was spellbinding. However, the character and plot development left a lot to be desired. Some important plot points became known to the audience seemingly by accident, producing a jarring effect that leaves the viewer confused and feeling little connection to the characters. The presence of Jesus throughout the film, culminating in a somewhat graphic crucifixion scene, ended up feeling a bit heavy-handed. I would recommend this movie as a movie to rent, if only for the impressive chariot race scene. I would give it 2.5 out of 5 stars.
All right, Kate Kelly, thank you very much for your review of Ben-Hur. Sounds like one that maybe has a great scene or two in it, but not something that you'd want to drop $25 on.
Well, pensioners can't afford movies.
We can't afford movies.
That's
but
right.
It was nice of her to tell us a little bit about the movie.
Well, hey.
Hey,
folks,
who's that?
Thanks
calling?
For calling in.
Okay, Dan. That was the Jaguar phone going off right there.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, let's remind our listeners, everyone is invited to join us for the WDCR Night at the Movies. Again, we are honoring Mother Teresa. It's at the Avon Theater, September 8th at 6 p.m. Great family night out. We got to thank one of our sponsors, Skeff Distributing. Thank you very much for your support.
Absolutely.
To help make this possible. Tickets are being sold after every Mass this Sunday, and you can also call our radio station, Decatur Catholic Radio, and the phone number is, Dave,
464-1099.
So we do have a limited number of tickets. We did sell out the last 2 years, so the sooner the better if you want to come. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful night, and I suggest inviting your entire family.
You know, I had some folks at church ask me, I want to have 2 showings. Because I'm not going to be available, but I want to see it. You know, if there's enough demand and we can afford it, maybe next year we would consider doing that. It's nice to fill up the whole place one time than it would be to have it half filled twice. But I think it's something we can consider depending on what the movie is.
I didn't tell you the price either. I forgot.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are just $5 each. Very, very affordable. And 4 for $15.
Oh, so bargain ball.
Beautiful night. Make it men's night out.
Yeah.
Ladies' night out. Make it a date night.
Family night.
Bring
there
your
you
children.
Go.
Popcorn
bring
night.
Bring your friends.
Be all kinds of stuff going on.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a great community thing, too. I know the years I've gone, I see people from all the different parishes. I get to see people I haven't seen in a long time. There's a chance before the show to chat and after the show.
There's door prizes.
Yes, there is.
You
door
buy
prizes?
Tickets, you
yep.
sign up. We have door prizes, too.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a beautiful night. It'll be fun.
It will.
Well, good. It sounds like a great time. What do we got next week? Anybody know?
No, not off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You're the one that tells
Bob,
me.
Bob Luther.
Yes.
From the SCORE Business Club out at Milliken will be
uh-huh.
here to talk to
good.
Us. Good. Dan's going to talk to him a little bit about that. I have the final school preparation, St. Patrick's, with Jan Sweet. She's going to talk about what's going on at St. Patrick's School. So we'll have 2 guests. The Bishop's Column, I believe, will be available next week again. We like to play the Bishop's Column when it comes out, but as of right now, the new one's not up. We've promised Bishop Paparaki that we will play his column, and one of these days we'll get him on the air live.
Yeah, that'd be
to talk to us about what's new and what's going on in the diocese. Mark, you had dinner with him
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
I did.
He was over here in Decatur
yep.
talking to the parish and the parish of Holy Family.
Right.
And from
different
what I understand, he's going to come to all the parishes.
Yes, he is.
And visit.
He is. We're the second one. It escapes me now where he went first. But Very, very good dinner, very good talk.
Okay. We've got Deb Alexander back with us to close the show with a prayer. So we'll sign off for now, and we're going to close with a prayer of the Holy Family.
Absolutely. I think the most perfect prayer today would be for me to share our Holy Family Catholic School prayer.
Okay.
Ever-loving God, you gave us the Holy Family as a model to follow. May we at Holy Family School show others the mercy of Jesus Christ, the holiness of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the faith of Saint Joseph. Enable everyone at our school to live out and act upon our name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey,
Amen.
Folks, we hope you like this new format of going to the days and going to an hour long. Obviously, we would love to hear your feedback. Give us a call here at the studio. Email us at contact@wdcrradio.com or find one of us at Mass. You know, we're around town. You'll see us. Okay, that's about it. We'll see y'all next week.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.